Well, here we are, still in the 11L facility. And thank you, gentlemen, for another fine effort. Now, the key question is whether or not next week we will be instituting staff singing time. I've been thinking about this feature for a couple of minutes. In the chapel, in the moonlight.
I love that.
That's a great song. Promise me. But are you familiar with, and I know I played it here, so now we'll see if you even remember who did it. Are you familiar with the original version of that song, which I have played here, which I first played on WHVW when we were doing our Sunday afternoon country show?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with it. I know Billy Hill wrote it, and that was back in the 30s, I believe.
I should know this, but I don't.
I hope you do, because I've forgotten the name.
I really don't.
Means it's a wrap for this edition of the Extravaganza. Anything you guys want to leave the audience with before we get out of here? I know we didn't get the headlines tonight. We'll get to them next week. This will give you the opportunity to come up with new headlines and then to look through them all and edit it down to the very best. What's the matter?
Not going
to
happen.
Why?
I'm keeping the ones I got right there. That's less work.
Yeah. Look, every week I have to prepare a three-hour broadcast. You have to prepare maybe, what, a dozen lines? Big fucking deal. Make the effort, Pally.
I did, and I like what's on that page, and I'm keeping them just the way they are.
Okay. Oh, you like it so much. Okay. All right, good. Yeah, what?
Finished?
Oh. Yeah, I think he's finished.
Yeah, okay.
But I still like the Sonny Tillo and the Orioles version.
Yes, 1953. That's my favorite version. That's what I was going to say. Get me to it. Yeah. Which means I can say goodnight, all.
That was it?
That's about
That's what we waited for? Well, it is 11:01:30 straight up. So it is, I don't know, that one of these clocks is off a couple of seconds. Nobody gives a fuck, John. We don't care about your fucking clock,
Sing
John.
Your clocks, you lazy bastard.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. What didn't we get to? What didn't we get to this week? Let's see here. This should become the regular feature of the show, is all the news we get to. I didn't mention anything about Iran here. Let's see. I was kind of bored, too. Let's see. Oh, I didn't get into the whole wallet discussion this week. Did you hear that one? Because I've been in this position. The police leave a loaded wallet, if you will, on a bench on a subway platform. Just leave the wallet sitting there. This Good Samaritan type comes along, because picks up the wallet. He says to turn it in. Now, I've done this once with a wallet and many times of late with cell phones that I find on the train. I invariably turn them in. I always get a communication that goes like this. Well, thank you very much. I'll be sure to contact your employer, MTA, and let them know what you did. And people never do that. And believe me, I need the help with my job. you don't turn in things looking for a pat on the back or a thank you. Actually, a thank you is appropriate. Beyond that, nothing. I don't want no rewards. Unless you're really rich or you want to leave me a your home, that's cool. I do that all the time. This particular guy picked up the wallet and moments later pounced upon by New York City undercover police officers. The wallet was a setup to see if anybody would take it. Well, of course, even I would have taken it and then opened it up away from crowds and people or whatnot to see who the fuck it belongs to try and get it back to the person. Why? Because that's what I would want somebody to do if they found my wallet. Instead, they tried to bring this guy up on charges. And he alleged the reason why they did this to him in particular was because he was Hispanic. He believed it was racially motivated. And indeed, they did check into his past history, see if he had a record. Did not have one. Although, unfortunately for him, and it being mentioned in the press, he did have he was issued a summons a couple of years back for a public urination on the subway.
You know, if it would happen to you and we would find it, say, at a railroad station, and they try
I usually
to
find them on one of the trains after all the passengers have departed. It's a deadhead, and then I get in and, damn, another cell phone.
Yeah, you imagine if they try to pounce on you and say, I'm an MTA employee and this is an MTA railroad station. Where do you think this thing is going to go? You think I'm going to steal this stuff and lose my job?
Well, the fact that I'm an employee and that I'm white would certainly mitigate the situation in my favor, and I doubt I would have been brought up on charges. But this guy was, because he looked like the type.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Michael, you're shaking your head.
Because it's ridiculous. Who wouldn't see a wallet there and check it?
Of course.
Maybe if you picked up the
and
wallet.
And say, $400 or $500. Fuck.
Maybe you picked up
my
the wallet.
My lucky day.
Maybe you picked up the wallet and immediately dialed the cell phone. Say, well, I'm trying
well,
to
Well, you know, how do you get on a cell phone? It was an underground station. It was 42nd Street Grand Central Station, one I've been known
that's
to frequent.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no signal down there.
Yeah. No, it's the most...
And I wouldn't do that either. I wouldn't want anybody else to be snatching. I'd put it in my pocket, and I'd go somewhere away from everybody and check it out. And I would check it out in detail. I want to see how much money is in there, because when I give it back, I don't want to hear any shit afterwards about not having given back the full amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the person would get back everything in the person's wallet. Period. Hmm. Unless I'm really down on my luck and destitute and just lost my job. I mean, there are... No. Mitigating circumstances, as they say. But the Daily News in an editorial said the stop and frisk tactic based on suspect behavior is an immensely effective law enforcement tool, but it should not be undermined by subjecting innocent people to humiliation. Indeed. So this little operation that the police refers to as Operation Lucky Bag, the Daily News said it should be bagged. And I agree with them. So we didn't get to that, but you know, how much more would I have had to say about it? Let's see. There's this thing I took out of the Times here that goes into great detail. All this stuff about Iraq. I don't know what it is about this time of year. I can't bring myself to discuss any of these serious issues in any detail. I've just been in a really, really, really silly fucking mood of late. Is that bad? Once again, I asked the staff, is that bad? Should I be disabused for not performing the duty that is paramount, or so I'm told by some people, that is discussing issues in a relevant manner, putting forward my opinions on topical topics? Am I failing my audience?
No, it's the end of the season. Why not? Just, you know, have some fun with it. Roll with the punches. You know, everything changes this time of year. People don't concentrate on anything. They got sales. They got presents. They got parties to go to. They don't.
Yeah, see, that's what I feel. Yeah. Let's fuck around.
Yeah, I think that's what I feel too. A couple of other stories that I think hit the news today, or at least yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, I should say.
We gotta get out of here momentarily. I gotta get some food. I'm dying.
The guy who was the manager of Zabar's, co-owner of it, he passed away. He's the guy who actually built the place. I say that's a great place to go to.
But it's non fucking news that he died. Eh?
Yeah, no, it's a tribute to the guy. You know, made up the legacy.
To the guy.
Hey, if you went there and found every exotic food you ever wanted, you see, because you don't shop there. If you went there, it would be important to you. You know, it would be an important place to you. I was there years ago. You know,
that's true. When Downstairs Records closed, I felt, you know, there was a pang or two.
Well,
Not many, because at that point, you know, pretty much CDs had taken over, and there was nothing left there that I needed anyway.
Nick moved
it
to Long Island. It's near his home.
Yeah, it's a mail order shtick now. I don't even think he's got a store. It's, you know, the storefront is a website.
Yeah. No, Nick has been sick.
Roy Adams?
No, Roy's gone. Roy left for Florida years ago. I think he was in the radio business as a real career now.
Who was this? Some guy by the name of
Roy.
Yeah.
By the way, I did check on Roy this week. Not only is he up and around and dancing, he was dancing publicly, but he went out and bought himself a nice new Mercedes-Benz that he's traveling around it. So glad to say the guy has recovered fairly miraculously from an injury that would have taken the life of most people, you would have thought, or leave the person so injured, so severely debilitated that they wouldn't be able to do a quarter of the things that this guy is doing, functioning quite well, all things considered. And we didn't talk about Michael Savage's latest travesty there, which is, not latest, but we played the excerpts a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the Quran being a book of hate. Hey, I've wondered about that myself, so I guess I'm a hater too. But this organization, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, they're going after him again because he uses his show to spread hatred against Muslims. No. As much as I dislike him, well, dislike his opinions, he, like I say, he's a gifted radio person. I don't think he's about spreading hatred against Muslims. He's about spreading opinions that might get ill-informed, undereducated people to hate Muslims.
Yeah.
And should he be held responsible for that? I don't
know.
Maybe.
In a way.
Should he temper his comments knowing that those people are out there listening to him and might be driven to be more overt in their hate and might even express their hate in a form, well, they might become violent against Muslim people? And if they did become violent against Muslim people because of what he said, should he be held responsible? Obviously not.
You know, for a lot of people who can't really understand that radio is a show, it's something for them just to listen to.
Oh, it's a show.
Yeah, yeah. And who really hang on what people say on radio. It's like it's like they were children and the people on the radio are like teachers. And the idea is if that you had a teacher who was teaching, say, creationism, all right, versus, Darwinism,
mm-hmm,
in a school system that says, hey, this has got to be scientific and not religious.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a teacher doing that, would he be in trouble? Versus the radio host who would be also trying to steer people one way versus another?
Hard to say.
Thanks for nothing, shit dick.
Okay. That's an official rap. It's amazing. At the point where I'm trying to get off the air, then he starts talking and reasonably, too. And actually had something to say. But I have nothing more to say. I'm really tired. And I got to eat some cheesy poofs and get to bed. So, folks, any questions or any ideas as to where we should take this show? Because you're listening on the internet, your position to go right to your computer, send off an email, and tell me what you think we should do or where we should go or where I should go. Really, you're in your position to lay upon me your views, opinions, and feelings of the show. And yes, I do read them. And I am likely to act upon them if numerous people make comments that I think are reasonable and should be entertained. So don't fail to by using my email address, wbcqradio@aol.com. That's wbcqradio@aol.com. And with that, I thank you. Good health, good luck, and good night. Gentlemen.
Night.
Bye.